was like, sad that I couldn't spend more time. Sorry, what?
What I think of? Oh, I was just like suddenly like something like it came into my head that I was like, it's shocking to me every time I see people running at the airport because I was like, I thought we don't do that anymore. Like because it looks so suspicious that somebody's running.
I mean,
You left your child at home.
since that
And
O.J.
that or
Simpson
that child is
commercial,
going to
like,
suddenly be on a flight to New York.
if you are, yes, the parents of Kevin
Kevin
McAllister,
McAllister.
you're allowed to run. Nobody else. Welcome to AE Double Back for Wednesday, February 14th. It's Valentine's Day.
Woo!
So, you know,
I
hope
forgot.
you're loving on your loved ones. Or
My little
is that what you're supposed to do?
kitties.
I don't know.
Loving
I brought
on them.
home some balloons that were around the office. Didn't pay for them, but they say Happy Valentine's Day on them, so that's romantic, right?
Yeah,
I
sure.
saw a tweet
That's weird.
claiming that 40% of men were using ChatGPT to write their Valentine's messages.
Is that true?
I don't know if it's true because I saw it
That
on Twitter.
sounds like the
doesn't,
onion.
it doesn't sound like something you could get accurate numbers on.
I
But
mean, to say
intriguing.
what? Just say, oh my God, there's a photo that I think gets circulated every year of the guys in the Hallmark aisle at like a CVS looking at Valentine's cards, and they all have such serious faces, and they're just like looking, scanning the cards. It's just so funny. It does, they don't have to be serious. They just have to say hi. I mean, I don't know what people expect. I never expect anything.
Well, that sounds like you have had a string of unfulfilling relationships.
No, I've had some good ones, but I guess I think it's just too much to expect people. It's just too much pressure.
It is
Like people
that,
should
yeah.
just be nice all the time and do nice things here and there
It's
all the time.
even more pressure.
Huh.
Yeah,
Nice
one day
every
versus
day.
364. Jesus.
I'm not capable of
I used
that.
to love Valentine's when I was a kid, though, because my mom would always have little treats and a card for each of us at breakfast. So
Oh,
we'd come
jeez.
down and it'd be all set up and we're like, yay! It
Like,
was really
no,
cute.
that sounds adorable. And now I'm just feeling like an asshole because I didn't get my kid anything. I mean, I
Well,
did
to
bring him
me,
home some balloons. He has to share them with my partner. But, like, I
that's not
guess,
good.
yeah.
I think that Valentine's Day and birthdays, like going through grade school, are like not great because they set up this baseline of automatic friends and affection that then
Oh
defaults
yeah.
to like the way of the universe, like after that. So like you have a rude
Yeah.
awakening at a certain point. And I don't know if that like is something that like was disastrous to me specifically, but you do notice that change.
I mean, here's the
Yeah.
thing. I still do oftentimes bring Valentine's to my coworkers because it's nice to have that back every once in a while.
Yeah,
It is.
like those ones that you would give to kids at school.
Yes. Yeah.
Those are
Just get like
fun.
it. Star Wars or John Cena or something like
Yeah,
that. And, like
Ninja
it's goofy
Turtles.
and then you put a little candy in there and like who doesn't love candy?
Those weird little lollipops that had like the
No,
white.
fuck those lollipops. Jesus
I
Christ.
loved
Give people
those.
chocolate.
Those were good.
No. You put in Snickers bars or fucking Milky Way Midnight or something nice. Bunch of
Oh my God.
Rolos.
Nice
Lollipops.
view
Christ.
is Milky
Nice.
Way good nights. Midnights.
The midnights because they're dark chocolate.
I
That's
like
the stuff,
Calder's
baby.
good nights though.
Milky Way good nights.
It's a sleep aid chocolate.
That is,
God, I need it.
It's a weirdly good idea, honestly.
Yeah. Oh, man. I eat those every day.
Chocolate melatonin. We watch wrestling, for God's sakes. Can we please get on topic?
No, I want to keep talking about Valentine's. I want to talk about, I don't know.
Mox versus Dax Harwood?
I guess we have to now.
I guess.
I'm there in my brain, though. I'm still another there. Another one of those classic
singles guy versus tag team guy matches with a foregone conclusion.
Indeed. Yeah, I don't know what it was. I don't know why I didn't really lock into this match, because, like, I like Mox. Dax is fine.
I had the same feeling.
I was excited when he walked by a mac and cheese stand at the beginning, and then after that, it just kind of went downhill.
Yeah, that's the high point. You know what I wonder about is whether they would try like acclimate Dax Harwood to singles work based on the charges that Cash is facing.
It's that possible. Is
very likely. And of course, they idolize Bret Hart, who like made his mark in the Hart Foundation, like one of the greatest tag teams of all time, and then became a singles wrestler. So, like, of course, both of them would like to be singles wrestlers.
Hmm. I made the note of the smooches back and forth between Mox and Dax. Now,
yes.
What's funny about this is I didn't notice until later, but there was a sign that said kiss or something like, or make them kiss or something. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
And so then I thought back to this moment and I was like, I wonder if Mox saw it and was just like, oops, sorry. I bumped my mic. Mox saw it and was like, okay, I'm just going to do this. And then Dax was like, I'm going to do it too.
Mox has been doing this, doing that spot, let's call it a spot lately, where, you know, he'll kiss someone and they'll be like, whoa, what? Which I like, because it is, they're not doing it homophobically like they used to. Right.
It's just a surprise.
Yeah. And then the fact that Dax kissed him back and then chopped him immediately. I'm like, yeah, no, that all worked. I really like that spot.
No, it's sort of like an old fashioned Bugs Bunny kiss where he would
like someone's, it just like gets them all flummoxed.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Ramona, girl.
Oh dear, Teresa has now been flummoxed by Ramona's kitty kisses.
Aww. Let's see what else. I can't say that I thought this was a good match, but it also had no stakes for me. And I guess the best matches always have some kind of stakes. And, you know, I understand not all matches can have like serious consequences, but it just makes me pay more attention and maybe read more into what's happening during the match. It's hard to tell a story during the match if there's no consequences, right?
Yeah. Like the CMLL thing, I guess, you know, like those guys came in and did the thing and that was exciting and fun. And then at the end of that, during Collision or Rampage or something, you know, they're like, BCC, we're like, we're going to beat everybody up. And then Dax and Cash came out. And so there's like, you know, it's not like it came out of the blue, but also, why? I don't feel any heat there necessarily. Although maybe that's, you know, a lot of feuds start that way, I guess. And then, you know, after a while, there is heat because they've been fighting back and forth. But this is, I guess, the beginning of it. And it doesn't.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I middled it. It wasn't bad. I just didn't.
Yeah, I upped it.
I upped it as well. I thought it was still good action.
Yeah. We've got Renee talking to Don Callis. Takeshita, and Will Hobbs. And Callus is talking about there's nobody that'll step up to Takeshita, so now it's going to be a match between Takeshita and Will Ospreay, which I think is cool because I'm sure they've probably had matches in Japan before. Maybe not, but I assume.
Well, they would have been with different companies, but I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Or maybe it's something, it's like a dream match for them. Like they wanted to, but couldn't because they were in different companies.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I am excited about this match. And, you know, Don Callis can get me excited for almost anything. I do want this massive heel stable to be in, you know, like a real solid feud with some faces. And the fact that, you know, we're just like doing this little one-off thing amongst the stable, like feels a little disappointing. As much as I want to see this match, this particular match, I also want to see Takeshita really getting into it with somebody big. And I want Kyle Fletcher and fucking Powerhouse Hobbs to be making moves. And this sort of like
an intra-faction match could still lead to somebody splitting off.
That's possible. And that might be a thing.
Will Ospreay might split off.
You have Will Ospreay.
He's almost time for him to come in, right?
Yeah, I think this might be it. Him showing up at Revolution?
I think so.
Maybe.
If not,
I'm not exactly sure when I knew it was like a few months away, but I wasn't sure exactly how many months.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, well, I give this a thumbs up.
Same. No complaints.
I mean, like one thing I was thinking was that while Don Callis is a very effective heel manager, it undercuts his evil somewhat when he says against.
I don't know. I feel like some people really don't like Canadians, and so they would take that as a mortal insult. Side note, I have started. I think I may have been acquiring a New Zealand accent. I started saying yes instead of yes, as kind of just like a silly thing, and then I found that I just started doing it, like. And normally saying yes instead of yes. And I'm like, I think I'm becoming a Kiwi.
Let me just help you out here.
Yes.
One word does not a New Zealander make, but like my mom used to do that kind of stuff. She'd joke around about saying schedule until she was just saying schedule and things like that.
Like Tarjay.
And like people at the checkout, when I'd be with her at the grocery store, she'd be like, oh, something, because my mom's one of those people that talks her, everybody's ear off. And something, she's like, something, schedule. And the checkout lady was like, what? And she looks at me and I was like, oh, she's joking. But like, it wasn't a joke anymore. Like, that's just now how my mom talks. But like, I have to help everyone else out who's like, what the fuck? Is she stupid or crazy? Because Americans don't know that in some countries people say schedule. Anyways, whatever.
If you had to pick an accent to have, what would it be? This does tie into wrestling, or at least it will once I think of something. You go so I can think of something.
I do like the New Zealand and Australian accent in that it's the words are funny to me. Sometimes how they're pronounced. You know what I mean? I've watched a lot of Kath and Kim, and I know that's like funny on purpose, the way they talk. But like, I could talk like them all day. It's fun.
I mean, here's the thing for me. It was like, of course, I'm a huge fan of Taika Waititi. Flight of the Conchords. Mm-hmm. But it was watching Wellington Paranormal that really started digging it into me. And then Our Flag Means Death, you know, got more Taika. Yeah. And I just sort of like, it just sort of like started sneaking in there.
What's his face? The redhead?
Rhys Darby.
Sweeping me. That's it, Rhys Darby.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, watching stuff like that really gets me wanting to talk, say words Calder. Like that.
What's your
I
accent?
I guess I would say Icelandic because I had an Icelandic teacher in junior college, like who I thought sounded cool.
Wow.
Is that like cool. A doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo kind of
that's right.
Sound?
Yeah,
or
yeah, yeah.
Bjork. It's Bjork. It's saying things.
I think part of that might be pure Bjork, but also part of it is the actual accent.
can I have a Bjork accent? I would like to replace my New Zealand with a Bjork, please.
Yeah.
Anyway, Wardlow squashed somebody.
Barrett Brown.
Yeah, his name was Derek Brown. It took a long time for him to say.
Barrett.
Was it Eric?
Barrett. Barrett.
They put it, they gave him a Chiron. Okay. I'm satisfied because he got his name written up there so that people wouldn't call him Derek or Aaron for crying out loud.
Sorry.
Oh, how rude.
Well, I missed the Chiron and then it took him a while to say his name. And then that's what I heard.
Adam Cole got a sweet deal for this match.
Yeah. Right.
What it's like is if you get jury duty and you either don't have to go in at all or you just go in for the one day and get to leave. And you're like, I did my civic duty.
For 10 years. Can't call me back.
I am torn because I keep saying, you know, like, show me something different. If you're going to have Wardlow squashing people and just week after week squashing people, give me a different take on it the next week. Show me a different version of this. And having Adam Cole on commentary and basically saying nothing is a variation that I should have liked more. I did enjoy it, but I really do not care for Wardlow squashes anymore.
Yeah, I don't care either. Although I will say I do like what they're doing with him right now where he catches himself on the video screen and starts flexing. This I like. It's stupid. You know, that's fun.
Yeah.
But yeah. I middled it.
Yeah.
I did too.
You downed it.
Mm.
All right. So let me see a plane. It is a private jet and the Young Bucks. In their bloody clothes, the white suits with the blood on it. They're coming out of the plane. Thumbs up already.
Wearing bloody clothes is something that only the upper class can do because they can get on a private plane and you're not about to walk on to a Southwest airplane like at LAX in blood.
Yeah, that's why Zuck has built his compound on an island in Hawaii. So none of us plebs, when the earth is burning and we're all dying and killing each other, none of us plebs can swim that far.
No.
So he'll be like all cozy.
Well, it's gonna be fun.
He won't need bloody clothes.
When all of the native Hawaiians decide that they've had enough of it, not going to be much swimming there. They're just going to be walking over and eating his face, which I am very much for.
There's actually this conference, and I'm not shitting you. These very, very wealthy people, there's like a conference on what to do in the event of like end of the world type shit. And they were all deciding where to build these compounds and what would be best, where will be least affected by climate change, da, 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 da. And they were building these big ass things, and then they were wondering what to do, like how do people not just come and storm your castle, essentially. Mm-hmm. And the what was being recommended is that they share their resources with the people that helped them build it and, you know, stuff like that. So they have some like loyalty amongst the plebs, essentially. I mean, it's just so fucking dark, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you know, you could also share your resources like right now, maybe.
Yeah.
Because a single person with $1 billion, $1 billion, let alone 40 or 100, like, you'll never be able to spend it in your entire life. So, you'll be making more money than you can possibly spend in a day. So yeah, why don't you do it so that we don't have to deal with the end of the world scenario? That might be great.
There are no good billionaires.
No, none. Should I go off on Taylor Swift right now?
Save it for the Patreon.
Okay. Speaking of which, where's our t-shirts?
Good question.
Speaking of which, there's a new Butcher t-shirt.
Ooh.
Yes, I'm so excited. It says Caveman of the Future.
Oh, fuck. That sounds awesome. What?
It's fantastic. And I have high hopes that means we'll get to see more of him soon.
I really hope so. What's that one with Sylvester Stallone where, like, it's the future, but...
Demolition Man?
Yeah, and Sandra Bullock's character is, like, super into everything from the 20th century, and so she's got all this 80s stuff in her apartment or whatever the fuck it is.
As we will see in an upcoming segment, there's a new Christian shirt as well. As soon as I saw it, that's how I found out about the Butcher one, is I went to shop AEW immediately to see if it was up there, and it was. Very excited.
The one that says Christian is my father?
That's the one.
Mm-hmm.
Very good.
All right, so...
Wait, Calder, would you thumb the Bucks on a Plane?
Oh, that was up. I thumbed it up.
Okay.
Okay, Adam Copeland. Hi, Ramona. Versus Daniel Garcia. Daniel Garcia, his dancing graphic up on the screen, that's great. That's part of his intro. I love it. We've got Matt Menard on the announce desk. I was hoping to hear a lot more nipples hard, but we didn't get that.
Well, it does appear to be something of a face turn, and I feel like hard nipples is a heel thing to say.
Oh, yeah, because we criminalize sexuality in this country.
Yes, there we do. Hard nips. So. Because even though both men and women get hard nips in the cold, it's somehow a sexual thing.
Disgusting.
It's not even a winter thing.
Animalistic. Gross.
All right, so we've got, Adam Cole deserves. This was a great match.
Mm-hmm. It really was.
This was such a good match. Adam Copeland is so good at selling the fuck out of all of this, but Daniel Garcia, of course, to give him his flowers, is also really good. I don't even know what to say. It was like pretty amazing. Considering the breadth, the distance between them career-wise, mm-hmm. and how well this match played.
Right? Edge is another guy who has really altered his style to fit his age.
Yes.
You know, he's always been a taller guy, so now he can just sort of like walk around as kind of a daddy ass, kind of just like a really big, strong guy, and he doesn't need to do a lot of, you know, the crazy acrobatics shit that he did in his youth.
Has he really always been a taller guy, Chan?
I mean, as long as I have known him.
Because I happen to know for a fact that he was a foot tall at one point.
One would hope. Otherwise, his mother would be severely disabled.
I guess even with a cesarean, there'd be some trouble.
I mean, yeah, I mean, if you pulled a 6'5" child out of you, 6'2"? Let's say 6'2".
I was actually just reading about this woman who was, I think she was 7 feet tall, just about, and her husband was also 7 feet tall, maybe a little bit over 7 feet. She had the largest baby in the world. It was like enormous. But the baby didn't live very long.
Oh, no.
I forget how big the baby was now. That's like the most important part. But anyways.
A story she of had, light on details and long on tragedy.
This is me. It's all I pick up on. No, but she had the biggest baby in the world.
I think on SNL there was a sketch where a full-grown person came out of a woman.
Oh, that's interesting.
That sounds...
Wait, which season was that?
That was during the like the early 2000s, late 90s, because it was Will Ferrell.
Yeah, that makes... Yeah, I thought it sounded familiar. Okay. We've got the crowd chanting Edge and Adam. I thought that was funny because I know at some point they were chanting Danny and Adam, but at first I could have sworn earlier in the match I heard Edge Adam.
It could be because I'm still writing Edge in my notes and I feel bad about it, but like I'm not paying attention and all of a sudden I look up and I'm like, oh, I've written Edge.
All right, so Adam. Okay. Adam wins.
In the winning, he does a lot of very heelish things, which is intriguing.
Yes, but then the patriarchy come out. They break up this fight and beat up Daniel Garcia, which is interesting.
I mean, they're also beating up Edge. Garcia's just kind of in the way.
Yeah, beating them both up, yeah. Christian comes out. We've got chairs. We've got a low blow from Mother Wayne. We've got, it was Christian a concerto.
Christian's going to... waffled Danny with a chair and Daddy Magic grabs it away from him. So like I guess we're really headed towards a full-on face turn for Daddy and probably 2.0 entirely.
And Daniel Garcia, because people like him so much.
Yeah, he's already a plain old
face. I mean, the dance, right? Doesn't that do it for everybody? The crop top and the dance.
Yeah,
it's really a wonder that everyone doesn't design a dance, because literally everyone who has a dance is really over.
Yeah, it's pretty great. All right, so then I thumb this up.
Yeah, I thumb it up.
The match or the whole thing, including
I assume all it's the all in one
stuff. It's all in one.
Okay, because I thought that was a good match, and I especially loved all of the stuff after, because it's real interesting how we're, you know, basically setting up 2.0 and Danny Garcia versus the patriarchy, and especially what's Edge's trajectory here. Cause like at some point he's got to end up with Christian, right?
At some point,
like, is it going to be him just like slowly turning heel and then just like shaking hands with him? I don't know, but I love it. And one of my favorite tag teams of all time is heel Edge and Christian. They're so entertaining, and it makes my heart happy just to think about the possibility.
I mean, it's going to happen. We just don't know exactly when, but it'll happen.
Yeah.
All right, so we've got Samoa Joe coming to the ring. He's cutting this amazing promo. He's talking about the three-way match. And he's like, just like Texas, it's going to be bigger and dumber. It was from the Texas playbook. It'll be bigger and dumber because it's all pissed off that it's three-way instead of just one person.
Love it.
Swerve comes out. Nana had a flower that he threw into the crowd, which was nice. Oh my God. This funny moment when Swerve was cutting a promo and he's like, you said, and then someone in the crowd's like, what'd he say?
It's freaking a Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Oh my God. I love it. But he continues to cut an amazing promo. Hangman comes out. The crowd booed, which I loved. And then he's also telling Samoa Joe.
I kind of forgot that Paige is a pretty good heel. Like,
I've just never seen him as a heel.
The shit coward heel vibes he gives off are real strong and real good.
Yeah. It's interesting because he's saying to Swerve, which it's so crazy. He's like, you don't deserve my time. You don't deserve this match. You don't deserve to be here. And it's like, of all the fucking people at AEW right now, who obviously deserves a title shot, it 100% is Swerve. So it's so funny. That is like the heeliest thing you can say because it's obvious. Obviously, he does deserve it. You know, he's overly deserves it. He deserved it when he first got there, but like, here we are. Anyways, Samoa Joe killed the ending of that promo, though. I mean, it was so perfect, succinct.
He buried the idea of mic drops, and I now will accept nothing but mic throws. If you don't take the mic and throw it on the mat, then I want nothing to do with you.
Yeah.
I don't want any rap battles ending with just a mic drop. I want just fling that son of a bitch.
Oh, my God. But Smojo, really, the end cap or what is bookended this promo sesh. I know. Bookended this promo sesh, and it was his beginning and his ending are perfect. So, and I loved Swerve's promo too, and Hangman did okay. But yeah, it was great. Thumbs up.
Yeah, thumbs up.
Thumbs up.
Then we have Toni Storm with her film Wet Ink.
Oh.
And she's talking about the tattoo that she's got that she shares with Deonna Purrazzo. And, she's talking blah, 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 blah. And basically, she gets a tattoo on top of that tattoo, but it doesn't cover it, which I thought was nice, which means in real life, she does want to keep that tattoo, which I like.
But I was wondering about that, if they were going to like do some sort, because obviously she's at a tattoo shop getting covered. Yeah, I thought that maybe they're going to do a fake cover up or something like that. But yeah, that totally makes sense that they did it that way, and I do like that a lot. Yeah,
so it's like a flash tattoo dagger that looks like it's going through the little ducky that she has, which great. That I mean, it just made it a million times better.
Yeah.
And they didn't cover it up, which I appreciate because I was like, it would have made me sad.
Yeah.
But this whole thing was great. And it was just fun and Toni and all that. And she got a thumbs up.
She's finding just more just like words, just individual words to give her own Toni Storm spin to. Which just, so the whole thing is just peppered with all these silly little things that just make me laugh right in the middle of it. And all of it is wonderful.
Yeah. Big thumbs up.
Yeah.
The whole stuff like that with the tattoo makes me squeamish. I don't know. Like it feels weird to imagine like permanent stuff happening for segments like that.
All right. Next pay-per-view, all three of us are going to get matching tattoos.
No way.
Come on over. Come on over.
Come on over, baby.
I'm going to hire a tattoo artist to get them done during the pay-per-view for us.
Oh, boy.
What are we going to get?
We could get my buddy Sean to come down from Portland. He's like a world-famous tattoo artist.
Okay. That sounds like I can't afford that.
I don't know.
Just mean, what tattoos are we getting?
Oh. Ramona.
I think that might be a problem for my cats.
Ramona has a tattoo.
Of what?
It's a blue line so that other vets know that she's already been spayed.
Is that a thing they do? I did not realize.
Yeah, it is. I recently Shelters. Read about some guy who got adopted or like found a cat that had that on it, and he got a matching tattoo of it, and then later found out what it meant.
Where did he get that tattoo?
On his tummy, probably.
I don't know where the guy got it on.
No, that's what I mean. Like, where the guy get it? Because, like, if you get that when they cut off your balls, and I'd be like, oh, are you getting a blue line tattoo on your scrotum, dude?
Well, looks like on the cat, it looks like it's on their tummy. So I'm assuming he would have thought his tummy.
I don't go around, like, peeking at my cat's private, so I wouldn't know.
I don't either, but she sleeps on her back with her legs akimbo, and she's got a huge tummy, so she doesn't have as much fur as my last cat. She's very furry, but like Ramona or Mushu's fur was just like super packed in there. She couldn't see any pink tummy, but her fur thins out a little bit on her big tummy. And so you see the pink flesh underneath. And there's a big blue line on her tummy. Not her privates, by the way. That would be impossible. Because those are all squished at the end.
Interesting.
Can't tattoo that.
I see.
Now with that attitude.
Young Bucks versus Top Flight. Can we move on?
Wait, no, we can't because it's Renee talking to Yana Perazzo, her reaction to the tattoo.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, that's all part of the same segment, right?
Okay, well, then let's talk about it. Diana was saying, where I come from, she's a blah, 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 which means talks too much.
I think she's from Jersey, so.
Yeah. Right, she said Italian word.
Yeah, it was like a yak bottom or something like.
Yeah, Yakima, which is a city. Yakima yak, I don't know.
It was something along those lines for sure. It didn't in the moment sound Italian to me, but my expertise is limited.
I have to be honest. I assumed Italian. I have no idea if it was. But this whole segment gets a thumbs up.
Yeah,
for sure.
Okay. The Young Bucks, they have arrived. They are in their big, black private car Escalade type thing. They arrived. They've got their suits. And then the following segment is the thing. I guess we just go into that. What am I saying? Okay. The new music and graphics for the Young Bucks, I love so much.
So great.
It's fantastic. Okay. So I thought this was a great match. What did you guys think?
Fantastic. Yeah. Bucks, Top Flight, Excalibur calling Taz a human sellout machine. All this great stuff.
Taz was hilarious the whole time.
Oh yeah. Just doing the full on bootlicker thing. Just great.
Was this when Taz was saying he owns the color orange, or he trademarked the color orange?
No. That's when Stokely Hathaway came out.
He was wearing a yellow shirt. That's right. All right, so this is a great match, and of course it would be. The Young Bucks, they're the first match in AEW that Top Flight had was with the Young Bucks. So it's always great to see them back together. This was fun, all the things that you enjoy. Young Bucks win, and Shivani comes into the ring. Also, there was a sign that said, paid to see Smart Mark. I'm with you, whoever you are. I'm absolutely with you.
Smart Mark.
Where is he? Where is he?
I don't know. Where in the world is Smart Mark?
San Diego?
Oh. Smart Mark.
I see. That makes more sense.
But definitely to that song, theme song. The Young Bucks. And by the way, did you guys ever play that on the Apple II? That game? Or did you only watch the TV show?
I think I might have played the game at some point.
Sorry for being an adult.
Wow.
Well, my older brother played it and I watched. I was too little, but I loved watching. And I had no idea where everything sounded so amazing. Now, Cairo. Whoa. I don't know what Cairo is. Wow. And then I came to identify photographs, and it's like on a green, everything is green because it's an Apple II. anyway. Okay, so Young Bucks and Shivani, they push Shivani, they fine him because they're like, you know, so disrespectful, blah, blah, blah. And they're really like, being mean to Shivani, which I feel like Shivani is someone who still, if you're mean to him, the crowd is going to be like, boo, hiss, right?
Yeah.
There are people which, if that happened to, the audience wouldn't really know what to do. But they still love Shivani. So, okay. Darby runs out. He's got Sting's bat. He's got different makeup, which is cool. It was kind of like, a rendition of Sting's makeup, really. But it was great. He said shit. They didn't bleep it. Interesting. Mm-hmm. Darby referred to Cody. He didn't say Cody. But the crowd knew what he was talking about, and then the crowd started chanting Cody. And then they're talking about, you know, because the Young Bucks were like, we're the number one contenders for the tag match. I thought they already were booked for Revolution, but then hearing Darby, it's like, well, maybe not.
I am also unclear on that. That is exactly what they should be doing. They should be, you know, like, because as EVPs, we're going to make ourselves, you know, the number one contenders. So if they forgot that step, they skipped over it, then like, yeah, sure. Go ahead and go back and do that. Cause
yeah,
that's what you should be doing.
But yeah, Darby did a fantastic job here.
Yeah. Yeah.
He did a great job hitting Brandon Cutler with a stray bullet.
Oh, my God, yeah. Oh, my God. Oh, the Young Bucks like, what's wrong with Brandon?
Perfect. Perfect. And they also did a real good job, the Bucks, of being just near enough to the camera that they were, like, some of their, like, comebacks and stuff. Yeah, were coming through, but they weren't, because they weren't over on the microphone, the arena microphone, they weren't getting in the way of Darby's flow. So I just thought that was a really nice way of working.
Yeah, I thought it was great. Yeah, thumbs up. This whole thing gets thumbs up.
Big thumbs for all of
this. Indeed.
Yeah.
Thumbs up.
We got Renee talking to the Bang Bang Scissor Gang.
Renee always seems to be in harm's way when she's interviewing them.
Yeah, there's a lot going on there. It's interesting because it looked like Jay White was none too pleased. Like, he's going along with it, but he also seems like he's not into all this shit that's going on.
Yeah,
like the rambunctiousness around him.
It's hard to say because I think also he kind of has that vibe when like Juice is around too, and it's not so much that he's disapproving; it's just that like I'm the cool, you know, above it one, and you're just like the crazy screamer one. So
yeah,
I think there's a little bit of the, you know, enough you kids, but also just that's his sort of vibe.
Yeah. But anyways, I don't know. I don't know how I feel about this group, but we're here. We're going to embrace it momentarily while it's happening. I still wonder what would have happened with, well, no, I guess we did get to see that. Never mind. I don't know. I middled this.
Interesting.
Yeah, I agree with you, but also I do find them intensely charming, and they haven't quite worn out their welcome for me yet. I sense it. I sense it right on the horizon, and I hope that, you know, by revolution they break them back up, because this is kind of like the mega powers thing where, you know, they teamed up Macho Man and Hulk Hogan, and, you know, like your two biggest baby faces. There's no reason to be putting them together like that. You need them separate so that they can have their own feuds with you have two good matches on the card rather than just one, you know, super over match. Mm-hmm. So like, yeah, I just need them to be away from each other. But also, yeah, I'm still, I hate the idea of a 12-man BT Dubs. So whenever that's coming up, boo on that. That is too many goddamn people. But also, like, this is, yeah, I thumb this up because I'm still okay with it.
Yeah, I still thumbs it up as well.
Okay, then we have Willow versus Sky Blue.
Mm, slightly out of the traditional slot. Interesting.
Right.
Also, the crowd remained extremely hot.
That's because
Willow, which made a huge difference.
Fucking star.
But it makes such a huge difference. If they just stay vocal during matches, it makes such a difference when you're watching it on screen, and it makes it just more fun and enjoyable for the people at home. I feel like that's audience's jobs in if you're attending the event live. It is your job to scream and shout and holler the whole time, nonstop, never stop for a second, because the people at home, you know, we have to feel. It takes more for us to, because like you're surrounded by other people and it's the frenzy and excitement and it's like the group think of the environment. You know, you guys are all feeling the same things. You just by being in the room, you're energizing each other. When we're watching at home, it takes a lot more because we're by ourselves. It takes a lot to get us excited in the same way. But if we can hear how excited you are, it's a funny thing how that works. We can pick up on it.
I like it.
Yeah. Anyways, this was an excellent match. It was excellent. Stokely was on the announce desk. I really liked it. Also, there's a really funny Arnold Schwarzenegger commercial.
I wouldn't know. I think Sky Blue looked too much like Mickey Mouse. That sort of little twin bun thing, I think only works with non-dark hair, you know, like your blondes or your reds.
What?
Because it looks like little mouse ears when they're black like that.
Wow.
And she had like a sort of bang situation.
I didn't think I'd hear someone like you talking like that, Jan.
See, I completely disagree with you on that. And I also, I disagree. I think it's the positioning. I think the way they were positioned on her head maybe made you think that.
Sure. Could. Absolutely. Whatever it was, that's what it felt like. And I did not care for it at all.
Okay.
Also, Chris Statlander, I feel like, is looking really girly too, which is kind of a bummer. Cause like one of the things that I love about a lot of the women there is that they look distinct. And like back in the day, like every girl looked like they were wearing, you know, a bikini and heavy makeup and done up hair and like, not like a wrestler.
Yeah.
If they want to do that, you know, like more power to you, but yeah, I don't know. But Willow is fucking great.
Absolutely.
Willow's the match best.
It's fucking great.
It was really and great.
Every time she hulks up, she's like a fucking badass and I love it.
Yeah. And Stokely's incredible. So I'm glad that he's still around. I mean, yes. You don't have Jade anymore, who is like the most perfect, perfect person in the world. Which I think Smart Mark was Jade's person, but didn't Stokely step in there too?
I think at the beginning, yeah.
Anyway, all I know is Stokely's great. Willow's great. This match was great. The crowd was great. I'm interested
because Stokely cheated so that Willow could win. Are we sending Willow down the heel path along with Chris Statlander?
Well, they've sort of, didn't they have her earlier like get sprayed? And so like everyone was like, oh, I wonder if she's going to turn into the same thing like Sky Blue did, you know?
Yeah.
But then Willow did not.
Yeah. I don't think they're going to tie. Yeah. I don't think they're going to tie that in.
I said, the mist sure takes its time sometimes.
You never know. Yeah,
who knows?
Could be a time release.
Yeah, who knows?
Don't know. I love this. This is great.
Thumbs up.
Yeah, absolutely.
Same. Okay, now we got Orange Cassidy versus Matt Tavern.
Taven. Did you?
Tavern. Sorry. Sorry.
Matt Tavern and Mike Saloon. Yes.
All right. So, Orange Cassidy. I mean, like, the match has barely started, and Orange Cassidy's head has cracked open. And just like a geyser is shooting out of his head.
Was gross. This announced at any point? I guess it must have been like on a collision or rampage thing, but yeah. Like, I feel like if it's a Texas death match, you really gotta ramp up to that. You gotta have some build and you gotta like announce like a couple weeks ahead of time, so that it still has the gravitas that you need.
Yeah, because I didn't know it was a Texas death match right away, you know what I mean? And yeah. I was like, what the fuck? Because this is pretty heavy duty for a regular match, right?
Yep.
And for good reason, because it's not a regular match. This was a death match. And in fact, someone might have died. They're both bleeding. There's at one point, Matt did a Topa Suicida and there was a table that had already been set up.
That was crazy.
Orange Cassidy gets out of the way and Matt Tavern breaks the table. Sorry, now I can't stop saying it. Breaks the table and he opens up. I was like, my God.
The first table spot was kind of disappointing because it was like from the stage.
Yeah.
It wasn't very far and it was an elbow drop and the table didn't quite break and, you know. For a number of reasons, it was a little underwhelming, and then you know, like they went there and did that taupe spot. I'm like, Jesus Christ, man!
And then there were tacks, there were chairs.
No, hold on, there was a box of chocolates, a heart-shaped box that was two OC from Chuck E. T. And God damn it, I got suckered in. I was like, oh, fun bit with chocolate. Oh, right, this is a wrestling match. Of course there's fucking thumbtacks in there.
To yeah. wit, there was also a box of flowers with a pipe in it.
Also that, like a very Terminator 2 reference, which was delightful.
Chairs, ripping Orange's pockets / pants off.
Yeah, that was, really beside myself when I was like, he's trying to pull his pants down, I think.
I was like, what the fuck is happening? Anyways, long story short, Orange wins. This was it was a good match. It was definitely interesting. There's a lot going on.
There's a lot of violence around those thumbtacks and those chairs.
Shit. Yes. I mean, seriously.
Like just missing a frog splash onto thumbtacks?
Just that gross. It was brutal. There's so many moments where I'm like, I think I'm going to barf.
At the beginning of the match, I was kind of like, I don't know about this. But by the end, I'm like, oh, well, they've definitely earned it. Like, no one's walking away thinking, like, that Texas death match wasn't very deathy.
I certainly went into it wondering why Matt Taven was getting, like, the spotlight.
I mean, like, the Undisputed Kingdom, like, all of them, the whole point is to get everybody more over. So, like, I'm fine with that.
I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, you know, he's good. So I like that I get to see him doing stuff other than following around. What's his face?
Adam Cole, yeah.
Not just Adam, the other guy.
Oh, for the Roderick.
Roderick.
Oh, yeah.
For the longest time, we were just seeing them standing behind Roderick. And so I would much rather see this because it's pretty good. Yeah. Anyways, that got a thumbs up.
Come on, crunch.
Do 89% show. What?
It's so weird because last week was lower, but I felt better about the show. This week is higher, but I don't feel as good. I mean, it's fine, but I don't feel blown away.
Yeah.
I thought it was a pretty strong show. There were very few weak spots.
It was very strong. You're absolutely right. It could just be me and me being tired.
there was a few soft spots near the beginning, but a good show, worth watching.
Mm-hmm.
Indeed.
Anyhow, that's our show. Thanks, we did everybody. We made it. Hurrah!
Everybody, pet your kitty cats.
I hope you were super romantic the day before you listened to this, which would have been Valentine's Day.
I hope everybody got matching tattoos with their cat.
Yes. go ahead and tweet us with what we should get tattooed on Revolution Sunday. it's probably not going to happen, but you know what? If I could find a tattoo artist that would come over here, hell yeah, we're going to do that.
Good neighbor. Like a good neighbor. Ding dong, ding-a-ling, ding-ding, ding-ding, ding-ding-ding.